Hi, everyone.
Hi.
This is Carl Donnelly here.
It's Julian Dean here. Hi, everyone. How you doing?
Just a quick note. If you're listening to this or watching this, we'd like to point you in the direction of our Patreon. What's the address, Julian?
The Patreon is patreon.com/wearetvi.
And there's loads of additional content on there. There's loads of Patreon-exclusive episodes. There's videos.
We must have about 100 now.
There's loads. There's a little secret special that I did that was filmed in Edinburgh a couple of years ago that I've never put public. I put it only out to patrons. They can watch the live show that we did with What's Upset You Now.
And also our live show from the Black Horse.
In Leicester, yeah. And just also loads of exclusive episodes where we just have little catch-ups during the week. And also that you tend to get the unedited podcast in that sometimes
we
snip out names because we don't want to cause any problems.
Comedians.
Sometimes we leave names in on the Patreon, but that means you have joined the circle of trust.
So no grasses. Don't join if you're a grass.
Yeah.
That's cool. Fair, isn't it?
Anyway, and also if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, go over there, sign up, youtube.com/wearetvi.
Thank you.
Other than that, enjoy this week's episode.
Love you.
We love you.
We're actually changing the podcast.
I think you're
right. I'll die of AIDS in an alleyway. I'm all right, bro.
What episode was it?
155.
155, isn't it? 155, guys. Welcome back. TVI, Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean here. Is your mic all right there?
Yeah, it's good, man.
testing.
Fun.
Hi, everyone.
Great to be back in the studio, guys.
How was your Oz trip? All right. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's great, man. It's great to be back. I left my body in Australia.
Your Wi-Fi just tripped then.
Did it? Oh, I'm in a hotel. I'm currently in the Great Southern Hotel in Sydney, which is
room?
Very old hotel.
What's your room number?
For any little pieces that are knocking around Sydney.
Any little sweet tings walking around the roads.
Any TVI scrunt in Sydney want to pop by.
Want to come and eat some meat.
That's disgusting.
Simply alternative.
I mean, it's a very old hotel. Like for Australia, obviously, nothing's really that old. But this hotel's like 120 years old or something. It's obviously been
fucking
hell,
does it
since.
Stink?
It's all just corpses piled up everywhere.
It just smells of damp. where is it?
Ghosts.
Is it in so it's in Sydney, yeah, in the centre bit?
Yeah, so it's right in the centre. It's right next to Central Station, so it's near Surrey Hills. Yeah, sort of, you know, there's near Chinatown.
Oh, down them ends.
Yeah, yeah. But it's I do like Sydney. I always forget because I love Melbourne so much. I always think I don't love Sydney. And I think that's because there's that weird rivalry. But then every time I come to Sydney, within about 10 minutes, I'm like, I fucking love this city. It's wicked.
I haven't been there for like fucking since the 90s, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet it's changed. What's that rumbling?
Yes, I'm just texting the bar staff to say stop throwing cakes around downstairs. Is it your end?
Just before I zoomed in, there was a... Do you know them things that they spray chewing gum off the pavement with?
Oh,
there
yeah.
was one of them outside the hotel, and the guy, I looked out, and the guy was just like, for about 10 minutes before we started recording. I was like, it's going to ruin everything. But luckily, the issue is at your end.
That might be community service work, is it?
Oh, yeah, it could be, actually.
Unless I just insulted that guy's career.
It's just an actual job. Oh, man, you go up to him and go, oh, fuck, man, what are you in for?
He's like, well, I did a master's degree in chewing gum. I'm a doctor of pavements.
Oh, shit, man. What happened?
Man?
What did you get caught doing? My job.
You want a tag or what? Doing your dream job.
I was just saying before we hit record, since you told me about it, and I'd had no interest. Some clips of the Johnny Depp thing, man. But it is quite compelling.
It's amazing. Like, did you see where their lawyer...
The Heard lawyers are shit, mate.
But their case is quite bad.
Did you see the one where they interrupted themselves?
He said, objection. Yeah. You asked the question. Oh, sorry. Oh, right, when he went, so you poured yourself a mega pint.
Yeah, like, a mega pint of wine.
He was like, a mega pint? It's funny. Well, were you
Johnny
there?
Depp, yeah, Johnny Depp's responses are very funny. Yeah. But the bit where he keeps going like, did I read that correctly? And Johnny Depp goes, you read it beautifully.
Yeah.
He's fucking digging him out, mate.
I mean, they're grasping at straws, man. It's a hard client to have, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, because she's been diagnosed with a borderline personality disorder.
Yeah.
And she's been diagnosed with.
So in a way, people are probably being a little bit mean, aren't they? If she's actually
it is that thing. It sounds like they had a very toxic relationship, the two of them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think
he is coming off like an angel at the moment, but we'll see.
One set of lawyers have their go, and everyone just they're like, "Yeah, he's a bastard." And I'm like, "You know, this is how trials work. Like, one half happens, and then the other half happens."
That's what I mean. Like, I actually think, you know, he's not given a good account of himself from what we've heard. Like, it is, does sound like they had a horrible relationship, and they were both gross to each other. She has fabricated a lot of stuff.
Well, part of her condition is exaggerating and being a victim. She's unwell, maybe. At the moment, anyway, we'll see how the trial unfolds, mate. I want to go up as a witness.
Say what? I just love Pirates of the Caribbean.
Just say, yeah, I thought it was great. Sort of first one, yeah.
Can we play the tape, please? Julian's going and calling parlay in the corner.
Walking like Sparrow.
It's literally just on Pirates of the Caribbean 2. Like, yeah, cool, man. Just keep this playing.
The
defense rests.
I'll play a squid.
Citing articles from the Pirates Code.
That'd be cool, though, man. But the doctor had him was really good. She was his best witness, man.
What was she saying? I don't know. What was the doctor there for?
Well, she was there to diagnose Amber. She did a mental assessment on Amber.
Oh, really?
Fuck. And it didn't look good, man.
Right.
For Amber's case, anyway.
Are they going to get? I presume Heard lawyers surely are not. Are they not going to call a doctor to counter that and say she's fine?
I don't think they have. But they.
Okay. That's a bad sign.
I mean, yeah,
we looked in the yellow pages. We couldn't find any doctors
that would lie. But she's a really qualified doctor. Like, the first 20 minutes was her CV. And she's really good.
Like, when somebody reads out your credits before they bring you on stage.
She's done Live at the Apollo.
Dave's one night stand.
She won Edinburgh and Beyond in 98.
She won the gong.
Semi-final in the amusement.
Finalist.
Joke of the Fringe, third place.
4 stars Broadway, baby.
Red like a 5.
Oh, fuck. But yeah. Well, how long is it going on for? Do we know yet? Is it just ongoing?
Yeah, it's ongoing until... Yeah, they don't really know. They don't set a time. It's towards
is there
the...
Is a jury?
There's a jury,
Oh, there is a jury. Okay.
How do you get an impartial jury for that?
I mean, you don't, I suppose.
Yeah, it's true, actually. It's hard. You've got to check. You basically just got to check everyone's Netflix and see if they're watching. Because what's she been in? She was in, like, Aquaman and shit, isn't she? I've only seen her in a couple of things.
I don't know. I do feel for her a bit, though. She's got, like...
Shall I do the Googling?
Mental health issue.
Yes, I know she was on Aquaman because someone on Twitter called her Aquabitch.
I mean, that mental health issue is basically you're diagnosed as a cunt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Julian. Mr. Dean, we've got your results back.
We're just going to deliberate with some other doctors. I want a second opinion. I'm an arsehole, not a cunt.
You just get a text from the clinic going, it's just big letters.
Cunt positive.
Being a cunt.
You've got to have to stay in for 10 days and think about what your life.
Well, she's been in quite a lot.
Has she, yeah.
Has she?
All the way back to 2004, Friday Night Lights.
Is she,
that's where she came from, of course.
Yeah.
Has she done any porn or anything?
That's
a mate
Wikipedia.
Of mine wants to know.
We've got Pineapple Express she was in. She
yes.
The Rum Diary, Three
That's
Days
where
to
they
Kill,
met.
Magic Mike XXL, The Danish Girl. Oh,
have you seen Magic Mike XXL?
No.
What is it? Magic Mike number two?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's absolutely terrible. And I say that as somebody who really likes the first one.
Oh, did you?
Non-ironic
a film
way.
About
I think
male
brilliant.
Strippers is terrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but the first film is really good. It's a Steven Soderbergh film. And it's about men. It's more about sort of masculinity than it is about male strippers. It's about these sad guys trying to hold
kings.
On to their youth. It's a really interesting look at men. But then the second one is literally just, here's those same guys just dancing.
This is about men too, but they're a bit older.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the second one feels like it's made for the people that didn't enjoy the first one for what it is as a film, but just enjoyed the bits of Channing Tatum dancing. And it's like, that's a weird way to take a
I'll have to watch it then. I didn't know it was targeted at me.
They made the second one for like the hen parties.
Oh,
absolutely.
Right, yeah.
Did I ever tell you about when me and Chris Martin
were strippers?
We did we used to get our dicks out for Hendus. But we did a screening of Magic Mike at the exhibit in Balham. And it was when we used to do the podcast, and then we used to always talk about Magic Mike. And we did a screening for listeners. We were like, we're going to do a funny screening of Magic Mike where we do like an intro, talk about it, then we watch it and have a few drinks. And it sold out in like half an hour. So we were like, oh, fuck, that's good. All the podcast listeners have got on it. And then it turned, people were like messaging, saying, we couldn't get tickets. And I was like, sorry, it's sold out. When we got there on the night, it was only a tiny cinema that seats like 40 people. It's lovely. There was a group of 30 that had booked one group of tickets, and it was a bunch of women drinking Prosecco. And we sort of we said to them, do you listen to the podcast? They were like, I don't know what podcast you're talking about. We just saw that Magic Mike was going to be screened. And we were like, we were going to do like an intro. And basically what happened was they had no idea who we were. They just wanted to get shit-faced and watch Magic Mike. So me and Chris basically said to the other people that were there who listened to the podcast, look, guys, this isn't going to be what we said it was going to be. There's no point us doing like a half an hour intro to Magic Mike when these women just want to get shit-faced and watch it. So what we did was just get bottles of Prosecco and shared it with them and all watch Magic Mike.
Then fucked them all after.
Just got gobbled off in a cinema.
That's how I met my wife anyway, isn't it? We basically ended up
just watching Magic Mike with a bunch of women.
I mean, that's a good little business.
Yeah, it was
Amber Heard was on Top Gear as the star in a reasonably priced car.
Is that? I don't know what that means. I've never watched Top Gear.
Oh, really? So they get celebrities to do a lap in like a Vauxhall Astra.
Oh, when they mark it up, like who's the fastest and stuff.
Yeah.
Lots of people have done that.
Yeah. And by then, Jeremy Clarkson's written an article this week saying she came on to get more fame, and she's always...
Well, who doesn't go on
exactly.
TV shows?
Yeah,
that's weird, going on a television show to get more fame. Well, she's fucking... What a rude
I don't think that's a fault of hers, like wanting to be famous. Like,
what do you think? People go on Top Gear to meet him, for fuck's sake?
I know. To drive an Astra.
he's just really wanted to meet James May.
Yeah, yeah. And that other one.
Two of my dreams driving a fucking
speed racer.
Meeting Richard Hammond.
Richard Hammond,
that's his name. He's the one who
Stuart Lee always talks about him, the hamster.
He did. He did that routine about him that
he
got in trouble about, didn't he?
Yeah. Can't remember the exact routine.
Did he get in?
I can't remember what he said. It was a piss take about Richard Hammond, but at the time when Richard Hammond had almost died in a car crash, people thought he was being a bit
Stephen
mean.
Grant was going to be that guy, Richard Hammond's guy in the show, wasn't he? He got to the the final bit.
Well, it's a lucky escape, mate. You'd have ended up fucking spread across a runway.
Fucking Stuart Lee has launched an extraordinary attack on Top Gear presenter Richard Hammond, saying he wishes he had been decapitated in the high-speed crash that nearly cost him his
life. I think that is slightly out of context.
I mean, but then Stuart Lee's confronted and he'll say it was just a character or something. He's been confronted before.
I remember the joke was there was definitely a context to that. It wasn't him just saying, I wish he'd been decapitated. That is so out of context.
It's from the Daily Mail. Like, it's not.
True. I don't know why I'm backing cancel culture.
Yeah. Just fucking trying to bring down Stuart Lee, mate. Finally. Somebody's going to take him down a peg or two.
What else is going on? I've just been binging on The Trial, man.
That's it, mate.
3 p.m.
I've only just been watching clips in the last 2 days. I've just watched a series. I watched 4 episodes of it because I'm on my own in Sydney. I've just got loads of time to kill. I watched 4 episodes of a thing called Moon Knight. Has anyone seen Moon Knight?
Any good?
Is it the superhero thing?
I like the look of it because it didn't look too superhero-y. It's a Marvel thing on Disney Plus, and it's I'm not sure about it. What's his name? What's the guy? Oscar someone who's in like loads Historia. Of stuff. Yeah, it's a biopic of him shooting up the bathroom.
He's out on a tag now, isn't he, apparently?
Is he? Where did they put it?
Oh, nice.
Put it around his neck.
Put it around his forehead. I don't know what's happening with that, really. I don't know.
Oh, fuck. God. Oscar Isaac is the guy. Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaacs. Is that true that Pistorius is out? I didn't know that.
No, I was joking.
Oh, right. Okay. How long is it? How long is he in prison for?
I don't know, man. I don't even know what's happened with that.
Let's check it. We need to know. We need information on this because I did.
Did he get guilty on it?
I thought he did.
Is Oscar Pistorius still in jail? And when's his release date? He was found guilty in 2015.
Was that a civil case though, or a criminal case? Because I don't.
South Africa's Supreme Court of guilty of culpable homicide. It was later changed to murder, actually. So it went up to the Supreme Court.
And how long did he do, or is he doing?
In October 2015, Pistorius was released after just a year in jail.
They don't mind murder there, do they?
Served the rest of his sentence under house arrest at his uncle Arnold's home.
Murder's like a petty crime. It's like literary.
What?
Just did 3 weeks in prison. Yeah. Got blow chewing gum off a pavement for 6 months.
He's moved around, man.
House arrest? He
got sentenced to 6 years in 2015, released after a year to house arrest, and then he moved to Cushy Atteridgeville Prison, surrounded by acres of lush gardens.
That's not the
and
full
trees.
Name, is it? No. Cushy. Cushy Atteridgeville Prison.
And then November 24th, 2017, the former athlete had a sentence increased to 15 years, meaning he had 13 years and 5 months left to serve. So he is still behind bars.
That's quite rare, isn't it? That they add years on. Normally it's get years taken off for good behaviour. They're like, now we're going to chuck some on because we're
going to double it.
Maybe he was being really bold.
yeah. Fuck. So he's still inside now then?
Yeah, there was a guy I met at the Fringe in 2019 who was a Paralympic athlete, and I remember I met him, and someone was like, oh yeah, tell him about like your records, because he was like this really, and he'd moved into stand-up comedy kind of talking about it, and he was like, oh yeah, like somebody's like, oh, he broke all of Pistorius's records, and I was like, he killed two women.
Oh, oh God.
Anyways, her family and stuff.
I know, yeah, it's brutal. I mean, I followed bits of that trial at the time, and he came across bad. I know he was trying to play that it was like all an accident, but it was like, no, man, this sounds fucking like you were not a good guy at all. You're previous.
Because he got into the Olympics. He was one of the first Paralympic athletes to compete in the Olympics. It was so funny because he'd spent all his career like trying to vouch to be like treated the same as everybody else. And then the trial came and he was like, I'm just a little man who's disabled. He immediately flipped and played up to it.
Yes. Nice angle, Oscar. Well played, King. Nice chess move. The king's just watching from the side, admiring him. I mean, it's brutal, isn't it? What did he do? Shoot through a bathroom door?
Through the bathroom door, yeah. Fuck, and he said he thought it was a burglar. And he's like, shut up.
What, having a shit? Is that what he thought? The burglar was in the bathroom hiding?
Having a shower?
Yeah.
I mean, at least wait until the... I mean, it's probably not true, is it?
Nah,
so why was he shooting her then, in a jealous rage or something? He saw me in her DMs. Shine my legs off. More of a leg.
I see what you're missing out on. Have a look at his shins.
Look at his calves flexing it.
He's just had a foot fetish.
Her poor family, though. Fucking hell.
I know, hard to go back into being sincere after that, but it's, you know,
I'm just bipolar, mate.
Yeah.
I'm insulting people with bipolar, I didn't mean to.
You're just waiting for your Amber Heard diagnosis to come through.
She's a fit ting, bruv. Positively. Yeah, I don't think people should be too cruel now. You know, let's see how the trial plays out. People have been... Like, there's a petition to change her name to Amber Turd, and it's got like 200,000 signatures.
I don't think she's going to do that.
Yeah,
I know exactly.
Not.
I think she has to get the final
she
say.
She said once
that.
It
Unless
gets to 300, she will, yeah.
What do you reckon numbers-wise it had to get to before she considered it?
About 100 million.
Yeah, I reckon that's about right.
She'd do it probably for 10 mil cash.
I'd change my name to anything for 10 million cash.
Yeah.
Change it to Amber Heard.
I would say that right now. If somebody said to me, change your name to fucking Adolf Mussolini, Idi Amin, I'd be like, yes, please.
Would you change it to the N word for 1 mil?
Ooh.
Of course I would. I wouldn't tell anyone my name, obviously, after I've changed it. I'm not going around introducing myself.
If you got pulled over by the police, or you'd have to say your name, your real name, or like at the airport.
Yeah, I'd just show them it and say, I'd show them my driver's license and say, look. And I'll show them my bank balance. But I wouldn't be happy about it. But I think I don't.
Wouldn't you be happy? Wouldn't you be happy to change your name to that?
But you know what I mean? I think, I think even black people would understand your decision making if that. I mean, obviously, they'd probably ask who was the person
who's paying
that? What was their intentions? Yeah.
Do they want out of life?
Yeah, I'd say that. I'd probably say to them, look, you know, I don't think I'm the issue here. I think that guy might have some ulterior motives.
Can you set that as a tier on your Patreon?
Oh, man.
patreon.com/wearetvi.
Donate 1 million and Carl will change.
1 million. God.
Once we hit.
That's what
50,
I keep seeing people doing that about the Elon Musk thing. You know, when people are saying, like, what he could do for 44 billion, as if, like, that, as if they're things that, you know, it's, you know, he's a multi billionaire just. He's just buying Twitter because he's on a whim, you know what I mean? As if he's suddenly going to solve world hunger, like that's part of his, like what he wants to do. If you're the sort of nutter who's going to spend 44 billion on Twitter. I don't think you give a shit about world hunger. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
It's well, people are taking that very seriously, haven't they? I know. Literally, it's on the App Store, mate. Just so you can get it.
Classic.
I'm going to change it so much. Get TweetDeck. That's got other fucking options.
I know. He owns Twitter now.
I don't think he does it. I don't think the deal's been done. I think it's still in the negotiations.
I think it's been done. I think it's been done now. Has it? Yesterday.
I heard it hasn't been completed. So there's still...
Unless that's false rumours. It hasn't... I'll get it from all my news from the Sunday Sport.
My news has to be tent adjacent. Has Elon Musk on Twitter?
I heard he did, but
they're nearing a deal. That was
nearing.
Yeah, it's still it's not. It's not been signed.
Apparently, he's going to let Trump back on.
Yeah, I don't know where Twitter gets money. Where do they get money from? Adverts, obviously.
Advertising. Sure. And advertising.
Where's
and data,
adverts on?
It?
I don't see data. Adverts on Twitter though.
They're sponsored posts and stuff.
Sponsored posts.
I mean, $44 billion worth.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, it's got to be just data mining, isn't it? They just that's where the money's made now in data, isn't it?
Shit, man.
I know. I don't understand it. It all feels so weird and fake, and I don't understand how it can be worth that. Because it's only, what is there on there? Like, something like, is it 300 million people are on there?
Oh, more than that, I think.
I don't know if it is. I don't think it's. Yeah, to Google that.
How many Twitter users are there?
10% of the world, is it?
As of the second quarter of 2021, Twitter had 206 million monetizable daily active users worldwide.
Monetizable. Actually.
Yeah, so 206 active, because there'll be loads of people that have signed up and haven't been on there in years. Do you know what I mean? So
more recently, 396.5 million users.
So okay, that's what's that like? 5% of the world.
So yeah, 30%. So if you take $44 billion and divide it by the users and work out how much each user's worth, it doesn't make any sense.
Wait, no, I've got a little important Twitter statistics article here. 396.5 million users. Twitter brought in $3.72 billion in revenue last year in 2020. 206 million users access Twitter every day. 75%.
How much of that is profit though? That revenue.
I don't know. I guess there's like a good chunk of overheads, but not crazy, like I would guess.
I don't understand all that. It's like venture capitalism, isn't it? When you look at when you hear that like something like Uber's never made a profit and like
Netflix runs at a loss.
Netflix runs at a loss. It's all this modern thing of
Netflix
money's
runs at a loss.
Real. Yeah. It's never made a profit.
It's always run at a loss or lately.
It's always run at a loss.
Not always. It was
good business,
it started
guys.
On massive loss.
That's probably the guy blowing chewing gum off your pavement. Probably owns Netflix.
Yeah, because they get set up by these venture capitalists who basically get like hundreds of millions of dollars to set up a company, and basically the cost of setting it up and running it and starting it is like I don't understand how it works. It's something to do with the idea is to corner the market in that thing, and then ultimately it ends up becoming profitable. So something like Uber basically destroys the taxi industry around the world. So it becomes the only option. And then by then it starts making profit.
Then they can make silly money.
It's a monopoly, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there are a lot of competition. There's competition for Netflix now. Loads, isn't there? Like Now TV, Disney, Amazon.
Yeah. So that's why I think they've started losing viewers for the first time ever, haven't they? They lost a chunk of viewers in the first quarter of this year. So... I don't know. I think it's all falling apart, isn't it? It's all these, people, they've spent too much money on things that ultimately are not worth the money. I think that's sounds like what will happen with Twitter. I imagine if Elon Musk buys it, I reckon he'll end up regretting that one day.
Mm.
I quite like that he's bought it. I don't know. I'm not sure why, though, but we'll see. Hopefully he retweets me.
I do find it funny that the funny... people sharing funny pictures of him and saying like he's basically buying it because he wants to remove these from Twitter. That would be a funny reason to buy, to spend $44 billion to
just
remove
to block
the photos of you when you were
block
bald.
Bill Gates or one of his rivals.
Hmm. but I don't really care. Like, it's that thing, I don't really understand why it's a big deal.
I'm trying not to vape in front of the mic. Sorry, listeners.
Some people hate Elon Musk, but some people absolutely hero worship him and think he's the smartest guy in the world.
I think he's a good guy. He's Asperger.
He's not the smartest guy in the world, is he? Like, he's basically got enough money to pay the smartest people in the world to do stuff. He's not designing anything, you know what I mean?
I think he's got an engineering brain, though, isn't he? Like,
he was an engineer, but he's never designed a spaceship or anything. He doesn't have anything to do with the actual active engineering of those. So he's obsessed with the CEO of the company. Yeah.
His big thing is tunnels at the minute. He thinks it's going to solve traffic around the world.
I mean, has he not heard of the underground?
That's the genius. Exactly.
London Underground.
He tweeted something about the highest traffic, like, numbers in the world, like the worst traffic cities, and he was like, anyone fancy a tunnel? And one of them was London, and everyone was like, what the fuck are you talking about, man?
You've got loads of derelict ones here as well.
And he said they're weatherproof, and I'm like, they flood. Yeah. Like, all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really... But at the same time, as much as I don't have any strong opinion on him, I find it funny when people think, like, it's the end of the world that he's buying Twitter, as if Twitter was like... It's not like just it's a great place to hang out already. It's full of fucking divs already. What's going to happen? And nothing's going to change on it. Even if they put Trump back on, it's not going to change anything.
It's a bit entertaining, I think, Trump on Twitter. It was quite funny.
He was good at it.
It was that thing of, like, it's a weird thing. It's to sort of be like, oh, I miss when that was the chaos of another country being run by someone like that. It was quite amusing. I wouldn't probably want to live under it. I wouldn't want to lead. You know, I know we've got a donut in Boris, but at least there's an element of, intelligence to his, like, you know, his language and everything. Like, he feels like, I don't think he's fit to lead, but you think he's got the intelligence to lead. Whereas it was funny having Trump, just somebody who was so sensitive to, like, literally reply to tweets digging him out and stuff when he's meant to be the leader of the free world. I thought it was hilarious. Funny. Yeah,
it's funny things.
He's a wild character.
What else is going on? Talk me through the latest in the UK news. Weather, sport.
A little bit chilly today.
Sunnier gradually.
Yeah.
Big semi-final, Champions League last night. Very exciting.
I saw the result this morning. It was seemed very exciting. It's quite nice as a Tottenham fan to know that we've beaten Man City twice this season.
Oh, wow.
Seems to be the only team that can, even though we've been shit for large chunks of the season.
Yeah, you'll beat Man City and you'll lose to fucking Portsmouth or whatever.
Yeah. That's how we roll. And tonight, Tyson Liverpool,
Fury uppercutted that geezer on Saturday.
I saw the clip. I wanted to watch the fight and I couldn't find a stream. I was trying to find a stream and I couldn't get it in Australia.
I watched it the next day,
Right.
On YouTube, mate.
He fucking cracked them.
He's got a fight. Francis Ngannou, who's the UFC champ.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, they're going to have a hybrid fight. He brought him in the ring afterwards.
How are they going to fight? What's going to be the rules?
Well, I don't know exactly the rules yet, but apparently it's going to be a hybrid between... They're going to have UFC gloves, which are like 8 ounce, small.
Yeah.
And swinging it out. But he'll outbox, obviously.
But did you see he brought him in the ring and immediately Tyson Fury was like, if you got a big cock.
Yeah. Francis didn't know what he meant. It's funny, man. Tyson Fury is funny.
Why is he thinking of adding some extra special rules to the fight?
Well, we talk about the rules. Have you got a big cock?
Loser has to nosh the other one off.
So we're just Queensby rules and BJs.
Confused with BJJ.
BJ and BJJ, mate. That'd be a weird BJ hold.
It was definitely like, I saw the knockout. It was naughty, mate.
Because he clocked him and then he kind of just tipped him over like a game of Jenga.
Yeah, it was a funny one because it wasn't a clean, like, it wasn't a full clean uppercut, like right underneath. It sort of just glanced across him, but he was already fucked. He should have, like, they should have stopped the fight probably a little bit before, from what I saw.
Yeah.
It was nearly as good as my punch to the punch bag out there. I clocked it, man.
I hate those things.
I've never had a gar one before. It's really nice to hit, though, isn't it?
Oh, I just think they bring a terrible atmosphere to the venue.
I don't think they should be put in somewhere you're drinking. That seems a bit silly.
I know.
He's just asking for fights.
I mean. Exactly.
Just practicing on that and then coming.
Maybe the rationale is if we just let them like look at the numbers, they can work out who would win the fight and then they won't have the fight.
I know.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know. There's something about, if you clock it and get a really high score and you've had a few beers, part of you's thinking, now let's see what that does to someone's mouth. You know what I mean?
Let's see it. The jaw can come apart. I know, it's a silly move, isn't it? That's why, like, live fighting events, like, there's always a little tussle in the crowd.
Oh, loads, I hate that. Oh, I worked the bar at a boxing event once. It was awful. Really, really awful.
It's like, you're on some edge, of the worst
people, man. I've been to live boxing a few times, and I think people have an assumption about football fans, and you'll meet some fucking eggs at football, but in boxing crowds, man, it is next level, just rough as shit. But
the people get caught up in it and they start like, they think they're like, they want to show off, it becomes bravado,
especially after a few beers as well.
Yeah,
I've been to some UFC events, man, and there's always a little setting going on and the beer queue or something. Some big hench geezer. I had to sort of take him down, do you know what I mean?
I don't like watching boxing in pubs, even.
I do like watching boxing in a pub.
I mean, I've watched some great boxing matches in pubs, like lock-ins overnight and stuff. It's great.
See, that's nice. I like
Lewis versus Tyson.
Yeah, if it's a nice crowd in, but if you've got the, like, basically the people who couldn't afford tickets to the fight but are that kind of aggro guys.
Yeah.
You know.
It's, yeah, like, I was over in East London, and what's that place called in Bethnal Green?
York Hall,
yeah.
Mm.
And I was in the pub after the gig, and they were all coming in there, and you could just feel like it was on edge a little bit. You know what I mean?
It does happen with football as well. I understand why people would feel a bit. You know, when people get on the tube after a football match, it's just packed full of football fans.
I know.
You know, if you're not in the crowd. I can imagine it feeling pretty, tense. Sort of aggressive and tense, and you know, it's a weird one because I get it, but also if I've just come from a football match, I'm also just going to be the worst. I'm the worst version
blade
of myself.
Blade in your hand,
six cans
striping
of
people on the Circle Line,
doing keys of coke on the fucking Bakerloo station.
That was when I went to the Euro final wearing my Italy top as an Italy fan at Wembley.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, I was very, very stressed about that.
Yeah, that is a bit of a
what, Italy v England,
it was intense. I remember I had a funny bit about, like, people talk about victim blaming, but when I told people I got, like, pushed around a bit on the tube for wearing an Italy top, they were like, well, that's your fucking fault.
Change your top, you traitor.
Yeah, but I suppose it's not rugby, you can't be hanging out with the rival fans. That's the one thing, that's what I quite like about football to a certain degree, is at least it is I find that rugby thing of like, oh, everyone's sitting next to each other, it was a lovely day out, just sat next to a bunch of the rival fans, like, fuck off, mate.
Yeah, I don't
know. I mean, like, you've not invested enough in it.
Yeah, I'm a Celtic. Because you need the right level of investment. It's a very difficult balance where, like, you want to care about it enough that it matters and it's exciting to watch, but you don't want it to, like, absolutely ruin your week if your team loses.
No.
And you also
don't want it to get to a point if you lose, you then act unacceptably. You should be
putting
upset.
Putting people in A&E.
Yeah, exactly. You shouldn't knock out a stranger because you lost. Yeah. You know what I mean? Someone you know, absolutely lay into him.
Member of your family, the weakest one.
The runt.
The runt of the litter gets sparked.
That's the perfect balance. You've got to really invest so that it's amazing to be part of it.
Yeah.
But then once you've lost, just, you know, you've got to just write it off. Allow yourself to be annoyed for a little bit and then put it behind you.
That's why I love the UFC, though, because obviously I have favourites when I'm watching and stuff. I want people to win, but sometimes it's just good to see who the best is as well. You don't have that in football, do you? Like, let's see who the best team is. Like, you're just, it's like a religion, isn't it?
I guess but that happens when, like, everyone sits down to watch the World Cup final, even if their team isn't in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If your team's not in it, it's a lot easier, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Your team's in it, you fucking... I found it quite stressful watching the Euros. Like, I got into it, man.
Everyone did.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even like football. I'm one of them fucking wanker fans. I need to go and buy an England top.
Every 4 years, you just show up.
That's what I do, yeah. And only if they're doing all right. Like, if they're doing shit, I absolutely don't care. Just don't watch it.
Oh, no, I never liked football, me.
It is easier for me afterwards when they lose in the semis. I'm like, okay, back to not caring.
It's funny how you can just switch it off, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it took about an hour.
That's mad.
That's bordering on sociopathic. Just turning emotions off.
Then just back to cold sociopathic stare.
Yeah, just do that thing. It's like one of them films where you see somebody come out of character almost, where you're sort of like, oh no, and you just turn and go. Just walk off.
Like a psycho. Walk to my car and my hand like Kevin Spacey. Start straightening.
Have you ever been to any sport? Do you ever go to actually live sport?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I've never known. No, I've been to the UFC. I've been to the UFC about 7 times.
Oh, wow.
How have you?
I've been in Nottingham, the O2 a few times, Wembley Arena. Maybe 5 times. I went to a Cage Rage one, which is like a UK promotion in 2005.
Some dog fighting.
It was pretty. I got it for my birthday off my then girlfriend, and we got ringside seats. It was good, man.
Oh, nice.
That's when Alex Reed was fighting, actually, back then.
Oh, yeah.
So I saw him.
Before he was getting pegged by Jordan.
Just before, yeah.
I was to cheer him up afterwards after he lost.
Did she peg him? Yeah.
Apparently, that was a rumor that went around that he liked getting pegged by her.
We'll get him on the podcast and throw that one at him.
I went to see the WWE recently at Wembley Arena.
Oh, that'd be fun.
It was great crack. I've never watched wrestling on TV or...
How come you went there?
Oh, right. My friend Aaron is a big fan. Aaron McCann. Comedian,
was he 6 years old? My best mate is nine.
Really weird how there's a lot of grown... up comedians who are really into wrestling.
CMB loves it. Christopher MacArthur Boyd.
He loves it. Well, Sean loves it. Mark Simmons. I can't get my head around it. Like, why?
I struggle. Like, because I loved it when I was a kid. So I loved watching Hulk Hogan and all that. But I cannot now give a shit about it at all.
I mean, they're impressive kind of athletes jumping around, but they're not. And even if you say to these adults who are into it, like, it's not real, they don't want to hear it. They kind of know it. They know it ain't real.
No, well,
but they won't discuss that.
They do discuss it. So this is what I found interesting. I went to watch and I had no real interest in it, but I was like, it was so exciting. The production value is so high. Like, you get really into it.
Right.
And then there's interesting things where, like if they do like a kick to the face, which obviously isn't a kick to the face, but like the fans will talk about, oh, he didn't sell that very well. That move didn't connect. Right. It didn't look like it was real.
So it's like watching a play or something or a film.
Yeah.
It's like being a mad boxing fan and then like watching Rocky instead of a real boxing fight. Do you know what I mean?
I do that actually sometimes.
I do that too.
Ron Funches, do you know American comedian Ron Funches?
Yes,
he loves wrestling, and he has a bit about how people go like, oh, but like, you know, like they're all just like mates after and they like hang out together, and he's like, yeah, that's why I like it. I like that. Yes. I can watch the thing and then they're all just like pals and nobody's getting hurt.
It's not a sport, like, then, is it? It's more of a kind of performance.
It's a performance. Yeah,
it's choreographed.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, go, even go then, to the like ballet, sport, mate. Like Weirdly, there was a thing, there was a picture this week came out with of Harry Kane, who plays for Spurs, and Eric Dier, one of our players. They played golf with John Terry. Mm. And like, you know, what they, literally, they, like, I think John Terry put a photo on Instagram of like Harry Kane, and they were like, oh, a fun day out playing golf. And loads of Tottenham fans were like, what the fuck, this is disgusting. Why are you playing with John Terry? Like, because just because we hate the fans, we hate John Terry for like, you know, for loads of reasons. But, you know, he was like Chelsea's fucking main man for so many years, just when they were always beating us and we hated him. And like, but I find it weird that to expect the players to not, you know, but the moment on the pitch, I want you to absolutely muller them, whatever. But I don't care if they're hanging out after the match, you know what I mean? I think they're allowed to be friends with other footballers.
Well, it's like lawyers in court. They can be battling a mad murder, like, you know, Amber Heard, Johnny Depp. The lawyers will go for lunch together. It's not just like a chess game. It's just work. It's weird, isn't it?
I understand that. It's, I find that. I found it really weird the way a lot of Tottenham fans were acting like, it would in any way that would impact how they play on the pitch when it obviously won't. Do you know what I mean? They're just,
it's their job.
That's the thing. I think people forget that sometimes about sports people. It is a job as well, man.
Although you get that.
Fans are meant to be the ones that get overly emotional. Obviously, the players, you want to see emotion, but I also want them to be functioning human beings.
No. you get that even with UFC. Did you ever see those UFCs where they're like absolutely leathering each other and they take a moment and like high five, being like, this is a great fight, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they're selling, the more that they kind of, the more bad vibes there are, the more tickets they sell. So they kind of, but sometimes it's more real. When they used to be mates, it's quite nice. And then they
Found that in the build up to Fury and Dillian White. Like, there was quite a nice build up to it. It was quite rare to see. And I really liked it. They didn't try and do that, because I think people wouldn't have believed it if they tried to make it too eggy and like, because I think people would have known that actually there's a lot of mutual respect. They like each other. That why fake it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I always find it, I find it funny when they try and over-egg the sort of pudding, in it.
Yeah. I'm like it with other comics on the bill.
Yeah.
Just take
standing. Just before they go on stage, you just go right up in their face and just lean in.
Kicking their foot as they walk to the stage. Going on and just taking apart their set. Doing an impression of them afterwards.
But it was definitely a bit more like that back in, you know, I remember when I started out, you used to get some shit as the open spot. There was none of this, like, overly supportive. Like, no one would talk to you before you went on. Comedy store dressing room, mate, no one would even make eye contact with you. You had to sit on your own. And then it wasn't until you went on and proved yourself. Yeah, you had to prove yourself on stage. I remember Mike Wilmot didn't give me the time of day, and he was like one of my favourite comedians. I remember being really like sad that he just wouldn't even talk to me. And then I came off stage having had a really good gig, and suddenly he was like, that was great, kid. And I was like, I get it. You've got to sort of earn your stripes.
Yeah, there was a lot. I remember the compere at Battersea Jonglers. Do you remember that fucking room? And I was doing about like a little 6 minutes or something, but he wrapped the mic lead tight around the mic stand. So I got
Who was
on.
It? Can you say it? No, you don't want to say it.
You know what? I can't even remember. I can't even remember who it was. At the time,
some
I
of them
jobless
compares though were they were fucking. Some of them were bad. Bad comedians and just not nice. Yeah, some of them are not nice. And I don't mind, I didn't mind being in a dressing room as an open spot where the old guard weren't friendly with me until I proved that I was going to be good. Because, they might have, up to that point, they probably met fucking 1,000 open spots a year and only a handful of them ever go on to be professionals. So they're probably just thinking, I can't be able to make friends with somebody I'll only see once. You know what I mean? There might be an element of that. So I never held it against any of them for just not talking to me until they trusted me. But what I didn't like was sort of, you'd sometimes get a compere be really shitty with you. But I remember doing Battersea, Camden Jonglers, my first ever open spot there. And I went on
last
an absolute
week.
Ripper.
I didn't speak to you. I've got...
But yeah, the compere, I mean, I could say his name was Drew Barr. I don't think he does stand-up anymore. But he went on and he did his stuff, and then he brought on the opening act who didn't have a very good gig. And then I went on and had a really good gig. It was quite a tough night. So I think I just had I had a sweet spot, and I just caught a wave and had a good gig. And I'd had the best gig of the night at that point. And he brought on that act after me, and then came up to me and went, oh, good work. And I went, oh, cheers, man. It was really fun. It was just fucking, and I was like, I went, oh man, I loved it. It was such a really fun. And I basically was just an excitable open spot. And he went to me, all right, calm down, mate. You only had one gig. Like that. I was like, oh, fucking hell. I literally was just celebrating as an open spot that I've just had a really good gig in front of like 300 people.
I wasn't even celebrating. Fucking...
I was literally just saying how much I'd enjoyed it. And he went,
I don't know him,
down.
But he sounds like a prick.
It was just like, I think he just, yeah, he just, what, I don't know. He just, maybe he just had, he was, I think, I don't think he did it for much longer after that. Maybe he just hit the end of his tether with comedy. He didn't want to do it and didn't like meeting somebody who was like eager and keen. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And actually excited to be there.
I remember getting that off older acts, like, oh man, they're like trying to get in my head. And I could tell they were trying to get in my head. And I'd just be like, it's all right, I'm just going to smash it, mate. And get on a bomb. Just gonna die. Oh, I remember when I bombed hard once, man, and I had to wait until the end. Martin Davis was on, and fucking hell, I had to sit there and like, I'm driving all the other acts home afterwards.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, it was a brutal. It was like a moment.
You just
want
to drive
shit.
It into the central reservation, isn't it? Yeah.
All the witnesses out. Just start finding all the people in the crowd, going straight through their garden. But it was brutal, man. It was like one of those moments where, like, oh, so you want to be a comic? This is the bad side of it. You got to stand on stage to silence.
Are you guys cognizant? Because now you guys are the closers at shows and stuff. Like, are you
in the world, man.
Are you like conscious of that when you have open spots coming in to do spots?
I just try and shag them.
Yeah, you've really overcorrected from being rude.
I'm just extra
Dude,
nice.
So nice. It just eats
so,
do you want to
do some writing together tomorrow? I think I've got a few ideas for some bits for you. Oh, that's God. Such a creepy move, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to do some writing together?
I'd love to give you some feedback on those bits of yours. That's
I
really
I've
like
actually
them.
Got,
that's what I think
I'm at the Travel Lodge. I'm always nice, man. I'm never like, I take the piss and that, but I think it makes people feel comfortable, hopefully. If you don't, ain't my problem, not really. But I would never do that getting, I had it done to me, and I don't think it's a good look, or I don't know, I just didn't really.
No. I'm always very nice to new acts.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really hang around with people. At certain gigs, you're in a green room if it's for a while, aren't you? But Top Secret, just kind of rock up and do it and go. But
because I know, like, when I... So Kevin Hart has been doing a lot of gigs in Belfast recently, and he is in a separate green room to everybody else. He won't, like, talk to anyone. He won't do whatever. And
that's
like,
what I'm like.
But I think
yours
that's very strange.
Choked by the club. The club put you in one on your own. Just the safety of the other act.
That's what I'm like at Vauxhall.
Julian just sits up here with his headphones on until the gig starts.
No eye contact.
Oh, fuck.
But Kevin Hart might be working on stuff, you know, like he's going through his stuff. He's obviously new stuff he's doing or whatever, eh? I mean...
There is that thing. There's some people I think who would do it in a rude way, but sometimes there are comics that are just so like in before a gig they are so in their headspace. Like Simon Brodkin, exactly who I was going to say. Simon Brodkin is somebody who just likes to work on his stuff until the moment he goes on stage.
Yeah, you
so,
see
like,
him
you know,
just
often
start,
he'll,
like,
often
with
he will
his laptop
sit
open,
on his own.
Like yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, whereas, you know, it's not a rude thing. It's just he's an uber professional who just wants to get as much work, like homework done before he goes on.
It's fair enough, man.
Yeah, I think somebody got annoyed at me for ignoring them at like open mics. They were like, you just talk to the people that like, that like you're friends with. And I'm like, yeah.
And then you walked off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my friends. I actually want to talk to my friends.
Why would someone call you out on that? Like,
well, because it was mad because they were like, they were talking about when they'd come and done my gig that I'd booked them for. They were like, you just like check my name off and then like we're doing. And I was like, yeah, flyering, filming, emceeing, like the whole like, it's difficult. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't just talk to you.
Yeah. Don't be so sensitive, people, man.
I know.
That's comedians, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pricks, mate.
Yeah, sad it is. Fucking bunch of pussy holes, man.
Bunch of wet wipes.
Every last one of them.
How's Australia going, though? Because it's been 2 weeks. You've been away. You missed your first ever episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's been very fun so far. The actual gigs have been fun. Shows have been good, and there's been some, as people will know, I was off last week, but there's been some further illness issues that are actually seem to be all right now. So I think, and I was thinking of rushing back home last week, and actually it looks like he's all right. Like it's pretty, it wasn't as bad as we thought it was, so I think I can hold out for another few weeks before coming home, which is nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
You had that funny Instagram story of you sitting behind a curtain as people came into your...
That was my green room for the whole of Melbourne. Like, there was no green room. It was just like, I literally sit behind a curtain on a little stool while everyone comes in. And there's days where I can hear them talking about... Every night it'd be like, they'd be talking about, oh, don't sit in the front. You'll be able to speak to us. And I'm like, I'm fucking right here, you donuts.
Stick your head out the curtain. Chat.
Yeah, I should have. It was really fun. It was that funny thing where I had a really nice run. I had no dickheads in at all. I had one couple in about a week before the end who were a little bit lively, but it weren't a problem at all. And then on the last night, I had a couple of dicks in. And it was like, it's the worst. On the end of the run, to have a couple of fucking annoying people in. Yeah. It was not a good, you know, it's still a fine and fun show, but it just got in my head a bit because I was like, this isn't how you're meant to end a run, by just getting annoyed with a couple of pissed up women.
Are you glad to be in Sydney now?
Yeah, I think so. It's nice. I mean, it's weird doing a month long run at a festival and then going straight into another week at another festival. That's like doing Edinburgh and then having to rush and do a straight into another week of another festival. But I feel knackered.
And what's this room like? Is it the same, similar vibe, both festivals?
Yeah, I mean, a nice little sort of studio at a theatre. So, and I've been doing some nice sort of galas this week, like big theatre shows to promote the Sydney Comedy Festival. So, yeah, it's really...
And where in Sydney is the show then? Whereabouts is Sydney?
I'm doing the studio at the Enmore Theatre, which is like a lovely, big, famous theatre in Newtown.
Nice.
They've got like two other studio rooms in there, so I'm doing one of them.
You're going to hit the beach
I might go to, I might do the Sydney, the Coogee to Bondi walk tomorrow if I get time.
What, on your own?
Yeah.
How long's that?
It takes about 4 hours. And a half. it's a nice little
trek. It takes 3 weeks.
I'm setting off in the morning, so... But yeah, if you don't hear from me, I'll be dead
in
the water.
You and a donkey. You're taking a camel.
Hear from me, I've been eaten by fucking coyotes.
That'd be nice though, wouldn't it? Because it's winter there now, is it?
A bit funny. It's not winter. It's getting a bit drizzly. But it's still not cold or anything. People here think it's cold. But it's like 20 degrees in the day, but it's just a bit overcast. So they're all fucking moaning.
It's better than here.
Yeah. And there's been some wicked weather. Melbourne's the best weather I've ever seen it during the festival. Normally that is when Melbourne starts getting a bit cold and drizzly, but actually it's been like proper beach weather most days. It's been fucking wicked. I got sunburnt once during the whole thing. And just because I've just misread how strong the sun was and just went out for like 3 hours with no sun cream.
I'm going to get some of that SPF on you, man.
I should.
We got to
bring back some cancer.
That's what I'm bringing back, mate. I'm bringing back a boomerang and some skin went cancer.
Went to Australia. All I got was this lousy cancer.
Been there, done that, got the cancer.
It is quite common here. Skin cancer is really common here. Like to the
my
point
dad
where it's
had
like,
it quite a few times. Like, yeah, just have you just have it cut out and that's it.
It's I know. Done. It feels, I don't like the fact that here it's sort of almost like a just a minor, you know, illness. I don't want any cancer at all.
Do you think it's the big hole in the ozone layer that's doing that?
Is that real? I remember hearing that years ago and I never knew if it was real. It must be. I mean, if that is real, that must be the case. Or is that what causes the skin cancer? Because it's weird. Yeah. People don't like get skin cancer everywhere else. You know, like white people in South Africa, I don't think are all getting skin cancer, are they?
I don't know, man.
Pandora's box I don't want to open, to be honest.
I think they're all just getting shot on their farms.
We've done 59 minutes. Let's get into...
So God. I watched a documentary. I don't know if it's one-sided.
Just one aside quickly. That is one funny thing. I did see somebody
get
winding
shot.
People up on Twitter talking about how Elon Musk's the first African-American to own a social media company. And it is such a funny wind-up because obviously people have just gone like, no. Oh, God.
That
is one of them ones where if you did that joke on Twitter, you're like, just mute the replies now. Yeah. Don't ever open that thread again, man. Just let it be. It's like throwing a grenade over your shoulder. Just walk, man. You nailed it. Just walk away.
Don't look at the explosion. Just walk.
Yeah. Look like Antonio Banderas in Desperado, man. Just walk while the explosion happens behind you.
Just walk off into the sunset.
You're just close that app. Silhouette.
Just put that tweet in the box, walking into the warehouse like at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. But, all right, we should wrap it up then. It's been lovely. Good fun. Good fun to see you both. And,
good to see you.
And we'll be back next week. What do we need to do, admin? Thank our patrons.
Thanks to our new patrons, yeah, and our new TikTok followers.
Yeah, we've got some TikTok stuff going on now.
TVI_clips. At TVI_clips.
I'm actually, I don't know if this will go out before. Maybe. I'm doing a gig that is streamed on TikTok while I'm here in Sydney. So I don't. I'll put details out online if it's not.
So if you're up at 3 in the morning.
Get them to tag
No, it wouldn't be. It'll be like, I'll try. It'll be like 7 p.m., 8 p.m. here. So that'll be like at 10 a.m. back in the UK. So it'll be available to watch. I'll try and find
out
the
Universal credit.
But yeah. And patrons, if you haven't signed up as patron, if you sign up this week, we had a very funny patron catch up 2 days ago.
Got pretty filthy.
It was disgusting. There was stuff about enemas and what is it, fecal implants and stuff. It was gross.
That is patreon.com/wearetvi. Boom. Yes. Sign up. Little as £2 a month. Extra and, episode.
Give it a share, give it a rating, all that business, you know, it's just thanks for listening.
And we're gonna do a patron get together soon, aren't we?
Yes.
Nice little Sunday midday affair. Week. Yeah,
so we'll work that out. But other than that, thanks Vittorio on the desk.
Thanks for having me.
And
Sergi is shadowing.
Oh, yeah, Carl didn't know that, maybe.
I had no idea he was another person in the room. Oh, shit. What's going on? You had a fourth person the whole time.
Sergi's
Oh, my God. Hey, man. Sorry to hear all that.
He's one of our patrons. This is what you get. It's tier 7.
That's just one below the one where Carl changes his name.
Yeah. It's just, but you're just paying. You have to become an audio engineer.
You have to do the tech.
You've got a 3-year sound degree.
We fund right. it.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks,
and
everybody.
We'll see you next week. Okay.
Bye. Miss you.
Bye.
I'm the right brother.